I do want to encourage you both now and throughout the week to take a look at that prayer list and pray for those that are there. Pray for our community, pray for our nation. I believe in prayer. And I believe it is an underutilized privilege. Pray for those that have lost their loved ones. Pray for our communities. There's so many things to pray about. Today, I just want to mention this, and we're going to go to prayer. We have visitors today from California to New Hampshire. We have visitors from other cities in Minnesota. And we just want to say welcome and thank you for coming.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, you've been so good to us. Yes, when we look back over the last couple of weeks, there has been death, even in our church family, certainly in our community. There has been hardships, there has been hospitalizations, there have been surgeries, there have been chemotherapies, there have been all manner of difficulties, but you have never forsaken us nor left us. You have been good to us. You have blessed us. You have taken care of us. You have been our shelter when the storms are raging about. And even though it has been hard from time to time to praise you in the storm, we praise you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. And help us to have the strength to continue to praise you even when the storms of life rage about us. We love you, Lord. We desperately need you. And so we invite your presence here this morning as we continue to worship you. I do want to pray, Father, for Paul Odenthal this morning, on the very edge of eternity. And Ron, his brother, and the rest of the family, will you draw them very near today? Will you walk with them through this valley? Will you walk with the Cyrus family as Audrey has had a serious stroke and lies in ICU in St. Cloud Hospital? Will you be with the rest of them on our list, Father? Those that some are even here today but need our prayers. Will you touch them, Father? Will you strengthen them? Will you encourage them? Will you open the eyes, Father, of those that have not yet been born into your kingdom? Will you help our family and our friends and our neighbors and in some cases people who sit in the church this morning? Will you open their eyes to a relationship with you that is real and eternal through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son? Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sin. As miserable and wretched as we have been, you were willing to go to the cross for us, for me. Thank you, Jesus. Will you help us in America, Father, to realize that once all over again? That Jesus, God in the flesh, came to die so that we might live, but not live to ourselves, to live for you. Will you help us to realize that in the church in America again today, and the church around the globe? Will you help us, Father, by your Spirit, to be holy people, not worldly people? That's not what you've called us to. But to be holy people, reflecting the goodness of God in the image of Jesus. Will you help us, Father, to be salt and light for you? Not for a pat on my back or some denomination, but to glorify you, our Father in heaven. Father, we need you. Folks on our prayer list need you. We lift them up to you. But we need you right here this morning. Folks here hurt. Folks here are lonely. Folks here are wondering. Folks here have questions. Father, we need you right here. May you minister to hearts and ears and minds today like only you can. We want to bring you glory, so you guide us as we continue to worship you. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're continuing our journey in Proverbs. And if you have your Bible, we are in Proverbs chapter 6 this morning. I've entitled it, The Six or Seven Things That God Hates. And I know that hate is a strong word. But interestingly enough, the Bible uses the word hate. And this morning, in this lesson, we're going to see some things that God Himself hates. Solomon lists six. He says six, but there's actually seven. Two of them are very similar to each other. Perhaps that's why he says six, but seven are detestable to God. And so we're going to look at them today, and as I look at the clock and see that it is fleeting on, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get very far in these six. Let me say this before I begin. On Wednesday evening, we had another community picnic, and it was a really, really good time. Amen. It really was. Folks from our community came, and we met some of them, and we visited with some of them, and children came and played and ate. And it was a really, really good evening, and I thank you, as I said before, for contributing to that. And it's just us ministering to our family, to our neighbors. But I met several new people there that I don't know. I tried to intentionally go around and speak to a lot of people. And I wanted to try to meet some of those that I don't know. And I met this one young couple, and I invited him to church. And we just happened to be right over here at the park, and so I could point. I said, "See that brown church right over yonder way? That's where we worship." And I said, "I'd like to invite you to come sometime. Bring your children." And she said, "Well, we've been there." I said, "Really?" "Yeah, we were there for Alan Dumprobe's funeral this spring." And I said, "Okay, well, that's wonderful. So you know where we're at. I just want to invite you. If you want to come, please come." She said to me then, "What kind of church are you?" And I said, "Well, by name, it's Free Methodist. But I said, we go by the Word of God." She told me she had grown up in XYZ denomination. And she wasn't too happy with the way she was raised up in church. And she really was not interested in going to church that just talks about rules. That's what she told me. And I said, "Well, we share from the Word of God. We dig into the Word of God. We learn from the Word of God. We use it as our guide." I said, "It's really not about denominations with us, although we are a denomination. It's about the Word of God and the author of the Word of God." She said that she said that they would try to come someday. But as I thought about that, I thought about this disclaimer. So let me share a disclaimer before I go any further also. When I take the sacred desk, and there's other pastors here, my friend and colleague and overseer Jim McGaffey is here this morning with us. He's pastored for decades. And there's other pastors that come and go from time to time. They could tell you too, when we take the sacred desk here, known as the pulpit, and speak to you, we're not speaking to individuals per se. We are trying to convey the Word of God as God has laid that on our hearts. And I say that because oftentimes people will say to, "Well, you're speaking to me on that one, Jim." Well, if God has given you a word through the word that we have chosen and shared, then listen to the Word of God. We are not here to condemn and to get upon individuals. We are here to share the Word of God. And we are here to call people to salvation in Jesus Christ. If that offends, then maybe I would suggest listen closely to the Spirit of God. We are here to share what God has put in His Word and put on our hearts to convey to you, His people, to those that are searching and those that are wondering and those that are perhaps even lost. We are here to call you to Christ and to the church to live holy lives. And let me say this. You and I cannot live a holy life apart from Jesus. We cannot, we will not be part of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven ever apart from Jesus. It's not a denomination thing. It's certainly not a gym thing. We cannot live for Him. We cannot reflect Him if we are not walking with Him and have been born again. And so, this little disclaimer. If you get mad at me, and sometimes you have, that's okay. I can take it. I'm still a big boy. I've heard from you in the past. I can hear from you again. But I would say this. Please forgive me for stepping on toes, but maybe you're upset with me because of something I have said, because God loves you too much to leave you where you're at. Maybe the Spirit of God is the one actually doing a work in your heart, saying, "Come unto me," as Sherry quoted this morning, "all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I am the one that'll give you rest." Maybe it is because the Spirit of the living God has a word for you and is trying to beckon you, come and be my child and be a holy follower of Jesus instead of a follower of the world. And so, please understand me. We're going to talk about some things that God hates if I ever get to it. Time is still clicking away. But I hate the thought of chasing people away from the church and Jesus Christ. And yet I fear on occasion I have done that. I hate that thought. But I am going to pass along to you the truth from the Word of God as I see it and as God has laid it on my heart. And so forgive me when that steps on your toes, but maybe there's really something else going on that the Holy Spirit in you need to work that out. Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 16. "These six things the Lord hates," Solomon writes. I know hate is a strong word. But Solomon says, "These six things the Lord hates them." Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. The first one is a proud look. Going to talk about pride a little bit. You know, I've confessed for you before, I have a little pride problem sometimes. God hates when pride raises its ugly head. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. And I will elaborate on some of these as we have time. Number five, feet that are swift in running to evil. Let me just elaborate that on a moment. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and He said it again in Mark, "If your right hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into glory with a missing hand than into eternity without." You know what I'm saying? He also says, "If your foot offends thee, cut it off." Solomon is saying here, God hates feet that are swift in running to evil. That's what Jesus was talking when He said, "If your feet have offended thee, cut it off. Take drastic measures to get rid of that sin." God hates feet that are running towards evil. The next one is very similar to one we've already said. A false witness who speaks lies. Very similar to a lying tongue. Perhaps that's why He said six and then seven. And lastly, and one who sows discord among the brethren. That is people who are stirring up trouble, especially in the church. God hates that. So I'll take a couple of them as we have time this morning. a proud look. Lots of your translations say haughty eyes. The Liberty Bible commentary says it this way, a proud look God has ever detested, for such a look renders a man unfit for the reception of His grace. Why would that be? Well, if I'm so full of pride and think I can do it my way, why would I need His grace? Now, let me say this before I go any further. I'm going to look at some more verses on pride. Pride can be a really ugly thing, but it doesn't have to be. Just the other night, we had a Harvest America crusade here on the big screen, where some of you came. My granddaughter is five. She came with us. And unbeknownst to Sherry and I, until afterwards, the thing got all over. He had an altar call. He told everybody what to do. We went out to the vehicle. We got back in, and little Kaylee says to me, Papa, I asked Jesus into my heart tonight. And I said, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Kaylee. And when we went home, we prayed together. And maybe I could have chosen a better word. Maybe I could have said I'm thankful, or maybe I could have said I'm happy. But I said, I'm proud of you for deciding early to follow Jesus. But if we don't keep this whole pride thing in check, it can get ugly. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear," and these aren't on the big screen, and so if you want to write them down, feel free to do that. I'm going to go through them because time is fleeting very quickly. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth. I hate," God says. Proverbs 11:2, "When pride comes, then comes shame." You know why he's saying that? Because pride will say, I did it my way. I can do whatever I want. That's pride. But along with that attitude will come shame, says Proverbs 11:2. Proverbs 13:10 says it this way, by pride comes nothing but strife. And when you think through that for a little while, you'll know what he means. By pride comes nothing but strife. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Listen to me, friends. Pride can be a killer in the church. You know what I'm saying? Some of you know what I'm saying. Pride can be a killer in your friendships. Pride can be a killer in your marriage. Always wanting it my way is going to be a killer in your marriage. Pride can divide and conquer very quickly if left unchecked. Pride says, like the old song went a few years ago, I did it my way. That's pride. Pride says, I can do it my way. Pride says, I deserve this after all. I've worked hard, or I'm busy, or I'm tired. Or pride says, I should have it this way. Pride says, I deserve the recognition. After all, I'm the preacher or the song leader or whatever else. Pride says, I should get some recognition for this. Pride says, I can sing better than they can. Pride says, I can do the job better myself. Pride says, if I don't get my way, I'm leaving. That's pride speaking. In your relationships, in your marriage, in the church, pride says you should be thankful I'm even here. You hear me this morning? Pride can be an ugly thing. That's why I believe Solomon lists it as God hating pride. Pride says, don't tell me what to do. Pride says, judge not lest you be judged. You've heard that one thrown back at you. That's pride speaking. Don't you dare tell me what to do. God hates pride. And there's no more damaging place for the ugly head of pride to re to surface and to raise its head than in the church family or your marriage. There's no worse place. There's no uglier place. There's no more potential for harm than when pride raises its head in the church and in the marriage. Let me say this too. God hates pride in the leader also. Pastors, boss, leader, president. God doesn't draw the line except you. He says he hates pride, period. That kind of pride in the leader that says, I'm the boss, so I'm right, is pride. Newsflash, folks, sometimes the boss is wrong. I know that because I used to be the boss, and sometimes I was wrong. Now I'm the pastor, not because I thought I should be, but God called me, and sometimes I have been wrong as the pastor. Sometimes I have been wrong as a husband, and a father, and a grandpa. I'm the one that struggles with pride, but I know I've been wrong sometimes. And I'm not too proud to say I'm always right. Just the other day, Kaylee, that same little blessing that come to know Christ here at the Harvest Festival, she was at our house a couple weeks before that, and she had to use the bathroom, and the other one was full, so she went to Grandpa's, and she come out, and she said, Papa, you put the toilet paper on wrong. I said, I didn't know there was a right and a wrong. I've been wrong as a grandpa, too. Pride likes to point out mistakes in somebody else. I'm not talking about having sin pointed out, because if I am in sin, somebody needs to point that out to me. Pride and that whole idea, Solomon says, that I deserve this, will bring a man to destruction, the Bible says. Interestingly enough, we're normally not the ones that sees the pride in ourselves, but it's sure evident to everybody else. Pride is normally something that needs to be humbly pointed out to me or to us for us to recognize it. And way too often I fear when it is pointed out, because there's pride in us, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to admit to it. Because pride is still taken over. God hates pride, brothers and sisters. I'd really like to go on because there's five more, but it's already 10 o'clock. And so, at this point, I guess I will just stop at pride. And maybe another time we'll look at a lying tongue. He's got a lot to say about that too. Feet that are running swiftly to evil. Hands that shed innocent blood. People that stir up strife. He's got a lot to say about all of them. But maybe I should just close with this and say, aren't you so thankful there's forgiveness? Amen. I've got to ask God to forgive me for my pride on a real regular basis. I don't struggle with the next one, a lying tongue, so much. Maybe you do. I know folks do. I know I've been lied to as a pastor, as a boss, maybe even as a grandpa. Them little rascals. But God hates lying too. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. But let me say this to close, and we're going to sing a beautiful song on page 203. Even though the Bible lists these six or seven things that God hates, He loves you. Are you hearing me? He loves the liar. Revelation 21:8 says, all liars will find their place in the lake of fire. If we don't do something about the lying, or the pride, or the other things that God hates, we will end up there, apart from Him for eternity. And so, friends, I just want to tell you this morning, there are things God hates, but He loves you. He loves the person sitting on death row for mass murder, for abusing a child. I don't know how He does it, but He loves them. He hates sin, but He loves you. He loves people. Even when we were playing the role of sinner and scoundrel, He loved us. And if you have never been partakers of His love and His grace, I urge you, don't just say, I know God, I believe in Him. If you haven't been born again, it is time to be born again and allow the Holy Spirit of God to come into you and help you with these habits or these behaviors or the old life. He will make you new. And if you don't know how to do that, we'd love to help you with that. And so please, get right with God through faith in His Son. That's the only way to be part of His kingdom. Through faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of my sin, believing He is the Son of God, and receiving Him by faith as Lord and Savior for me. It's the only way. If you've never done that, friends, you have to start there. And He will help you. He will guide you. He loves you. Trust Him.